Not only do we call everyone to believe, we call people to be able to say what they believe. And so at Daleville Christian Church, we affirm our faith each week, and we use some 20 different affirmations of our faith from God's Word. This one from 1 Peter, the second chapter. We are God's own people, that we may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. God's word today is from Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 18. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I want to begin by saying and reminding you that the word of God is life. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 32, they are not just idle words for you, they are your life. By them you will live. Or from the Psalms, 119th Psalm, turn my eyes away from worthless things, preserve my life according to your word. If anyone hearing through the website, if you found any value in anything I have done, if you're glad that I share from the website, if you receive anything of value from the messages on the website, you have God's word to thank. God's word with the Holy Spirit, with our Lord Jesus Christ. I said last time that we would be talking about mercy this season before Easter. Jesus talked about mercy. Last time we looked at a woman who asked for mercy. As I've mentioned, mercy is mentioned throughout the Bible 126 times in the entire Bible, 55 times in the New Testament. And we can add the word merciful to the count. That makes 144 times for mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is forgiveness. Mercy is undeserved by definition. Mercy is undeserved. You and I need mercy when we're in trouble. If we owe money, we can't pay. If we broke something that can't be fixed, ever break a family heirloom? If we broke something and can't pay for it or can't replace it, all we can do is plead for mercy. Or, without mercy, we pay the consequences, punishment, and or restitution for what we broke. If as a child I break a window, I have no way to pay for its replacement. If my parents pay for the window, then instead of debt to the window owner, I am in debt to my parents. If the homeowner says, never mind about the window, I who broke the window have been shown mercy. There is no penalty for breaking the window, and I do not have to pay restitution to replace the window. So I do not replace the window, and I'm not punished for breaking the window. That is mercy. Jesus taught about mercy, and Jesus showed mercy. So this season before Easter, in the sermon, we will alternate Sundays. We will look at Jesus showing mercy, and we will look at Jesus teaching about mercy. Last week we looked at Jesus teaching mercy, so today we talk about Jesus showing mercy. As I mentioned, mercy is by definition undeserved. By definition, mercy is undeserved. Our problem, as I mentioned last time, is often that we are trying to deserve mercy. Like that Pharisee we talked about who was working so hard to do the right thing in order to deserve mercy. It's okay to try hard to do the right thing because you love God, but to try to do the right thing so God can be merciful will never work. Now, if you've been listening carefully the last few weeks, you might have said to yourself during the reading of God's Word this morning, hey, didn't we cover this a few weeks ago? Did we? Well, it is very similar to a report in Mark's gospel book, Mark chapter 9, which I did preach on last month. And men and women have earned PhDs answering questions like, why are these two reports alike? And why are they different? Well, I never got a PhD, so I'm just going to point out a few things. Matthew describes this young man whom Jesus healed, describes as an epileptic. Matthew even seems to be sure to include epilepsy as a category. Matthew uses the word epilepsy only twice, here in Matthew chapter 17 and earlier in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, I'm going to read it to you. News about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. I point out again that there were healers and doctors in the ancient world. One of the marvels about Jesus was that Jesus healed everything. Whatever was brought to Jesus, Jesus healed. I've also been noticing in the Bible that some healings did not appear to be immediate. Here in today's scripture, Matthew is sure to tell us that this young man was healed at that moment. And again, in today's scripture, we have Jesus driving out a demon or rebuking a demon. Jesus technically does not exorcise a demon. I've mentioned this before. Because exorcising suggests conjuring or using special phrases or calling on another power to remove the demon, Jesus doesn't do that. You and I would have to conjure a demon if we were trying to drive out a demon. Jesus dismisses the demon out of his own mouth. Jesus himself is the power to heal. Okay, so Matthew mentions epilepsy. What do we need to know? Well, I mentioned other demon afflictions as being observable, as having the afflicted, or we might call them the patient. The afflicted one, or the person with the demon affliction, one of the observable conditions of that is to be out of control. The afflicted are not in control of themselves. From what you know of epilepsy, this is certainly true during a seizure. The very word seizure is a description of the illness, isn't it? A person is seized violently with muscle contractions or spasms. They might flail. They fall to the ground. They appear unable to see or speak or to hear. They have lost control. Epilepsy was known to the ancients, although the Greek word epilepsy really just means seizure. Modern descriptions of epilepsy say this: epilepsy is the fourth most common neurological disorder and affects people of all ages. Epilepsy means the same thing as seizure disorder. Epilepsy is characterized by unpredictable seizures and can cause other health problems. Epilepsy is a spectrum condition with a wide range of seizure types and control varying from person to person. And that information is from the Epilepsy Foundation at epilepsy.com. The human brain is the source of epilepsy. The human brain is the source of epilepsy. I didn't say it was the cause, but the source, what the ancients might have called the seat of epilepsy. It emanates from and is directed from the brain. This reinforces my statements in the last several weeks that Jesus heals not only the body, but the mind. Jesus heals the emotions. Jesus heals the spirit. And why do I emphasize this? Because when I was in seminary, I worked at Duke University Hospital. And when I worked at the hospital, I was responsible for giving patients paper and pencil mental psychological tests. I would introduce myself to the patient, say I was there to drop off psychological tests, and often patients would object vocally and say, "There's nothing wrong with my head." I was usually kind and attentive, but what I really wanted to say when they said, "There's nothing wrong with my head," I wanted to say, "We'll be the judge of that." Even today, some people are not sure that their heads are attached to their bodies. Some people still today insist that what afflicts one does not afflict the other. But after years of study, I have noticed that the head and the body are attached and connected. So also did Jesus notice that we are one body, one brain, one spirit, all connected. And Jesus came to heal them all, to heal us, body, mind, and spirit. Now, why would Jesus do that? Well, I think the Father in today's scripture says it pretty well. "Lord, have mercy on my son." Jesus has compassion for us and our condition. Jesus has come to bring the kingdom to set things right, not everything. Jesus just got things started in setting things right. And someday our God is going to bring all things to an end. God is going to redeem this whole creation. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Someday God is going to make everything right. But it begins here, and it begins now. Our transformation, our healing. When we declare Jesus Lord of our lives, healing can begin. The Father in today's scripture is kneeling. The word worship in Greek is the same word. Is the Father kneeling or is he worshiping? You tell me. The Father is kneeling, worshiping at Jesus' feet. And the rest of the Bible verses following what was read is about the power of faith. So, is the Father kneeling or worshiping? So when we declare Jesus Lord of our lives, healing can begin. The Father worships Jesus and calls him Lord. Now our healing may not be immediate. The Son, in today's report, his healing was immediate. Our healing may not be immediate. We've prayed in this sanctuary for us to have patience in healing. Patience in healing. We prayed for one young man who's had 4 surgeries, and he may never be relieved of pain. Our healing might not even be physical when we are crying out for physical healing. When we are distressed for any reason, when we are sick for any reason, when we are stressed for any reason, we cry out to our Lord, and our Lord hears our prayers, and our Lord has compassion for us. Compassion is a word that means to suffer with. When you have compassion, you suffer with someone. Our God has compassion for us. We are not alone in our suffering when we call upon Jesus our Lord. To have mercy also means to give help, to render aid. You know, I'm big on words, and to have mercy does not mean to fix something. Often when we are in trouble or pain, we don't want help. We want something fixed. So I wondered if the word fix was in the Bible. It is not. The word fix is not in the Bible in the sense of repair. The word fix is in the Bible, as in the phrase from the Psalms, "My eyes are fixed on you, sovereign Lord." Or from Hebrews chapter 12, fixing our eyes on Jesus. It's worthwhile noticing we are to fix our eyes on Jesus when we are in trouble or weary, because those two verses say, verses 1 and 2, Hebrews chapter 12, fixing our eyes on Jesus, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That is the only kind of fixing we need, to fix our eyes on Jesus. I also looked up the word repair. The only repair referred to in the Bible is when the temple was repaired. Our lives don't get repaired. They get transformed. Friends, you and I know that there are many ailments that can't be fixed. Maybe some of those ailments can't be healed. Well, they can be healed, but it might take time. It might take a lot of therapy. And it might require that we participate in our healing, but that doesn't mean that our Lord wasn't helping us or giving us strength or helping or giving us aid. As I've said more than once, I don't know the way to heaven, but I know the one who does know the way to heaven, Jesus Christ. And I pray for your healing, but I cannot heal you, but I know the one who can heal you. We, like the Father in the Bible we read today, could not receive what he needed from even the disciples of Jesus. He went to Jesus himself. So must we all. In prayer, in worship, in God's word, the fixing we need is to fix our eyes on Jesus, so that we might be helped, so the Lord can have compassion on us. We need to call upon Jesus for mercy. Mercy that Jesus might help us, that Jesus might heal us, that Jesus might save us. I encourage you to continue to go to our Lord for mercy. And I would share with you a video or a song. You can find it on YouTube. You might own this song, "Come to Jesus" by Chris Rice. Let me read the lyrics to you, but I recommend the song because the music has power. And we'll close the message today with this. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. cry to Jesus and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus and live. With your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus and live. Amen.